Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. My co-host, Meghna Chakrabarty, is on vacation this week. This week could provide a pivotal moment in the race for the U.S. Senate in Massachusetts. The first of four debates will be televised this Thursday. All summer long, the Republican incumbent Scott Brown has been running slightly ahead in the polls. Then this weekend, two new surveys give the edge to his Democratic challenger, Elizabeth Warren. So let's just say that for now, the race remains a tie. Both Brown and Warren were campaigning in Boston today. And joining us now to assess what could be a crucial week in this race are members of our political roundtable, Nancy Dwight, former executive director of the National Republican Congressional Committee and current chair of Dwight Partners. Nancy, always great to see you.
Great to be here.
Thanks for coming in. Also with us, Susan Tracy. She's a former Democratic state rep and current president of the Strategy Group. Susan, always nice to see you. Welcome.
Thanks, Anthony. Thanks, Nancy.
So as we mentioned, both Scott Brown and Elizabeth Warren campaigning in Boston today. They were talking about small businesses and about this week's debate. And here's what Scott Brown said about his opponent. She's representing Harvard now, has been there teaching, lecturing, and debating at Harvard. She went to college on a debating scholarship. So I'm going to have my hands full. When asked to respond, here's what Elizabeth Warren said.
So I'm just trying to understand, in sports, is this known as the expectations game? I watched Scott Brown in his debates against Martha Coakley. And Scott Brown is a very able and very effective debater.
Yeah, Elizabeth Warren. So are we talking about the expectation game here?
We sure are.
Elizabeth.
She nailed that one. I think we're in agreement.
No, but let me start with you, Susan. What can we expect to see during the debate? What do these two candidates need to do?
I find myself thinking that they need to sort of be each other, you know, opposites. I think Warren needs to be likable. I think people don't feel like they know her. They don't feel like they've warmed up to her. And I think that she needs to do something in that debate that make people say, hey, I kind of like her. Mm-hmm. I think Scott Brown needs to be more substantive. I think everybody likes Scott Brown. I think he's, you know, I think he's done a very good job at sort of portraying himself as someone that you want to have a beer with, as they say. But I think he needs to maybe show people that, you know what, I'm a United States senator and I'm good at it.
What do you think, Nancy?
Yeah, I think what he's got to do is reconfirm, restate for everybody who he is, why he's a senator, what he's done in the Senate, who she is, what she represents, the typical sort of debate prep going in. But what both of them need to do is show their human side, and that's really what Susan's also saying here, is to show who they are as individuals, as people, beyond just the television advertising. For this debate and for the presidential, for other debates we'll be seeing over the next 7 weeks, it's the first time we can really see these people as individuals, as human beings, and I think that's what the voters want to see.
The premise of this segment was this really could be a crucial week. I mean, we know that this is a very, very close race. Let me just ask you about that premise. Nancy, do you agree? How important are these?
Absolutely. I mean, we're finally in the debate stage of this election. We're finally in a stage where we're going to be talking about hard choices, real issues, and who's being served in Washington and who isn't. And both of them are ready to do it, I think. And I think we'll be able to contrast the two through this going forward.
And Susan, what about mistakes? What are the pitfalls that they can stumble into here?
Well, going back to the point, is this all about the debates? It is. I mean, every one of these polls that we talk about, up three, down three, they're all within the margin of error. So this is a statistical tie going in. You have about 10% of the voters who are fluctuating back and forth, and a small percent of them going back and forth. Say something dumb. I mean, we've all seen it. We've seen that debate moment where someone, I remember being in a debate myself when someone jumped out of their seat and I thought, oh my gosh, that's crazy. And it was the moment that everybody talked about it, and it was a really defining moment for that candidate. And so I think that, you know, making a mistake, doing something right, being likable, this could make the difference.
And I do think also that she will have to get out of the image that was set for her, that she set and her campaign set throughout the summer and early fall. She started to change it now through her new advertising and through her new strategy. But I think she's got to produce more of that. She's got to show a lot more affinity with Massachusetts voters and far less affinity with national voters. He's got to just continue to show that he is the United States Senator capable to continue serving Massachusetts.
Well, let's talk about, let's step back a little bit and talk about these new ads that have come out recently. Elizabeth Warren released a new set of ads. One shows, or is supposed to show, a sort of softer side of her. She's meeting workers and patting them on the back. You don't hear her voice. She's not talking about things economic. You just sort of see her being Elizabeth Warren, which a lot of Democrats have been urging her to do. She also released an attack ad, sort of. Let's listen to just a very brief snippet here.
I don't know about Scott Brown. He's been siding with the big money guys.
The big money guys, the corporate street, Wall Street guys, the corporate folks, the ad goes on. So that's being called the first TV attack ad in this race. Brown responded telling voters not to believe Warren's attacks. Susan, what do you make of Warren's media campaign or the shift here? She's looking to present a more personal side, but sort of getting tougher?
Well, if that is a negative ad, we are at a kinder, gentler time in politics than I have ever
kinder,
seen.
A kinder, gentler message.
I think it's quite a stretch. I would imagine the average voters would not consider that an attack ad. There's no grainy footage and no scary music and all of that. So I don't think it's an attack ad. I think some of it is an expectations game around that. You know, you want to come out and say, see, she went negative first. I think the thing to keep an eye on is the pledge that they made about third-party ads and whether this is going to be the sort of moment where the dam breaks on that, because this race is too close to not allow third parties to come in. And I think if you say she went negative first, it gives you an ability to say, hey, the pledge is no good. I'd also say he came up with a website the night before she spoke at the convention called The Real Liz Warren, which is a pretty critical piece as well. So,
right.
You know,
so he went negative online first.
Yeah.
She went negative on the
air first. Right.
Okay.
Hardly negative.
And is her negative negative, or is it advocacy? I mean, this is let's talk, though, about these two ads. I think it's very interesting in the campaign, because before, there she was, the national candidate, being, in my opinion, and I said it here on the show, much more national than she should have been. Now I think they have taken her way too far the other way. I mean, you need to hear her voice. Mm-hmm. You need to have a sense of her as a human being and how she's going to represent. So I can understand why they would want others to talk about her, because that's important to set the agenda here. But at the same time, to just come into the ad at the end saying that it's her ad, to me, was going a little further than she should at this stage. I still want her dominating. She's running for the United States Senate. I mean, again, if I were her strategist, I'd want her dominating a little more than I see in these ads.
Do you agree, Susan?
I think that it's really important that she reminds people of the national importance of this race to the future of the Senate and where it's headed and the direction and the issues. So I think that, you know, for her, I think reminding people that you sent two United States senators to the Senate from our state, and that this is a national election, is extremely important.
I'm not saying likability doesn't matter, but
I think the national component is critical to her.
Well, there are some other races, so let's move on and just spend just a couple of minutes talking about the 6th congressional district. This is one of the seats Republicans think they have a good chance of picking up, given the problems incumbent Democratic Congressman John Tierney has been having. He recently released a pretty tough ad against his opponent, Republican Richard Tesei, last Wednesday, calling him too extreme.
He calls the Tea Party, quote, a godsend to Republicans, defends extreme anti-choice Republican views, saying, quote, it is what it is. Republicans plan to gut Medicare. Tesei calls it, quote, a good starting point. Tea Party Republicans and Richard Tesei, what it is too extreme.
And here's Richard Tesei on Thursday at an event held at his campaign headquarters in Linfield.
Nationally, I don't agree with a lot of parts of the platform. But people who know me know that I'm my own person. I think for myself. Nobody tells me what to do.
So, as we mentioned, Tierney is fighting a pretty tough political fight here. He's trying to distance himself from his brothers-in-law illegal offshore gambling operations. Is it fair, though, Susan, I'll start with you, to link to, say, a gay, pro-gay rights moderate Republican to the Tea Party?
Absolutely, because I think he's being a cafeteria Republican. Mm. You know, it goes back to this issue of what's the first vote that you're going to cast when you get to Congress. He's going to vote for John Boehner. John Boehner has come to Massachusetts and raised money for him. He says in that same interview that he sat down with John Boehner and said, the Speaker of the House, and said, you know, I'm going to differ with you. You can't have it both ways. You can't take the money, bring them in quietly to fundraise for you, meet with them and wink and nod about what you're going to vote for and what you aren't, and then tell people, well, but I'm my own person. I'm different. I just think once you've sort of gotten in that bed and said, I'm going to raise money with you, it's hard to, you know, you've created your own problem in terms of separation.
Mm. Nancy, what's your view on this?
Well, I disagree. First off, let's talk about the ad. The ad is that grainy negative ad that we were talking about that we haven't seen
that
in the
one.
Other race.
Get the music.
It's in this race. The only reason an incumbent does a grainy, negative, ugly ad like this is when they're behind, they're worried, and they know they could lose. So that's number one. Number two, to even suggest that Richard Desai is anything but what we have always known him to be, an independent voice, a moderate Republican, by far not a Tea Party Republican. He spoke out already and has in the past against the elements in our party, whether it's Sarah Palin or Newt Gingrich or others. I mean, he's positioned himself well to say, I am the kind of Republican you need to send to Washington, not only to represent this district, but to work with Democrats after this election. Because wherever we are after this election, a lot of hard negotiating will have to go on between these two parties to come to some decisions for this country. And you need the moderate independent, in my opinion, independent Republicans to do that.
Well, it's going to be an interesting one of the interesting races to watch. And certainly, as we mentioned, the debate between Warren and Scott Brown later this week. Susan Tracy, former Democratic state rep and current president of the Strategy Group, thanks for coming in today. We appreciate
it. Thanks,
Anthony. And Nancy Dwight, former executive director of the National Republican Congressional Committee and current chair of Dwight Partners. Nancy, great to see you.
Thank you, Anthony.
In.
Thanks, Susan.